Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to Racer Radio, the only radio show in town that develops and works with young drivers, older drivers, every form of motorsports. And we really want to thank El Cajon Ford for all their support, elcajonford.com. Go to elcajonford.com. They have a special going on today and tomorrow, all the way till Tuesday. Special deals going on down at the dealership. You really need to take a run down there and check them out. Go to elcajonford.com. And when you get there, tell them you heard it right here on AM 1170, The Answer. Hey, I've got an interview I did with Leah Pritchard. Leah Pritchard is an NHRA Top Fuel driver, and she has been doing amazing this season. So sit back, take a listen. All right, folks. Hey, well, guess who I got online? I got Leah Pritchard. She is an NHRA Top Fuel dragster driver. How you doing, kid?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you are, since you hold the national ET record at 3.658 at Wild Horse Park in Phoenix. That had. Did you know you broke the record when you did that? Did it feel good?
It felt amazing, and we had done it earlier before the season started at a test session, but it technically didn't count. So when we did it again, we were pretty close. We had ran a 67 qualifying, and then running that 65. Like, you know, when you're on a good run like that, because it feels like nothing else. Clutch comes in a little bit different of a spot, mm-hmm. and it actually is so smooth. It's the ones where you're kind of fighting it and you're wondering what's going on, and it's shaking and rattling, getting through some tough spots. But it was smooth. I knew I was on a good run, and you know, we haven't hit that mark yet this season. But I'm confident that us and a couple other ones are going to get real close to breaking it.
Oh, I know. It's just a matter of time. I had one of your fans on my TV station here in San Diego. Her name is Sarah Moldenhauer, and she's chasing you. She's running alcohol. Funny car or alcohol Top Fuel and in group 7. So my question to that is, what is it with women doing so much better in NHRA than any other motorsports? Do you have any kind of a idea or any opinion on that? But it just seems like women do so much better in NHRA.
Well, I think it stems back to the roots a little bit of drag racing as a whole, the NHRA as a whole, too, is they've been diversified for so long.
Oh, yeah.
And given the amount of success for females hasn't been at this level, the roots were there implanted deeper, much before other forms of motorsport, so to speak. And given this is still kind of a good old boys sport, but not as much as, say, NASCAR. And there's some other, you know, other types of motorsports that require a little bit more physical ability, whether it's called motocross or,
right,
I mean, even GRC, where the talent base is so diversified. You know, there's a huge amount of respect for each of them,
mm-hmm.
but the entry level is a little bit smaller from a start out standpoint. And I think, you know, it's just like from a snowball effect, a little bit of success and a little bit more. And we see, I've seen it now, been around for, a minute.
A while.
Where, a little while. The young girls that have that have their interest in their whole life, they have been able now to see females be successful in the sport. I'm sorry, I'm outside and it's windy.
No, that's okay.
So it's not something new. It's something that's been a part of their life, and they grasp onto it and chase it.
Right. Well, it actually starts from the very race that you can attend. I mean, kids can walk right up to your truck and trailer and talk to you on the rope or watch you guys start the car, pack the chute. And I don't know any other motorsport that lets people get as close to you guys as NHRA. And I think the benefit is you get more and more kids, because all you got to do is listen to you light that sucker off one time and you are hooked for life. You know, just for...
Right, and you create nitro buddies.
Ah,
if you
I get my nitro burn. I get my nitro burn every February and every, what is it, the end of the season, in October, because I'm in San Diego and I go all the way to Pomona and burn my contact lenses almost into liquid. But that's what I just have to do. I mean, it's just, I just have to do it. And I love taking people that have never been before. And, oh, my God, the first time, you know, I tell them, okay, first pass, no earplugs. I don't care how old you are, no earplugs. Then you can put them back in. Well, you are doing so well in this career, too. I mean, right now, this season, I think you look like you're really on the path.
We are. And, I mean, I'll touch base real quick, too, on just the nature of the sport, like you said.
Sure.
It's kind of like a concert, but on steroids. Like, you know, you go see a concert, so everybody can relate to that. You've had a bang up time, it's super loud, or you're in the mosh pit or up and have a great old time, and you take all these pictures and videos and you try and post them up. Nobody else is going to be able to live that experience but you. It might look a little bit cool, but you know, you have the time of your life. It's the same thing with drag racing, but even more so. And no matter how old or young, you'll never get immune to nitrome. I think
never.
It's going to ignite your senses every time. But the success that we've had this year, and I, of course, get to be inherently like the face of the team, but it 100% comes back to the organization that I'm with Schumacher Racing, the team that I've been equipped with and our parts and pieces, and, of course, the drive and determination to get to this level is what created the perfect recipe, in my opinion, for what we've had.
Right.
But we are only halfway through.
Right. And you know, and every race is another challenge, and but maybe it has something to do with that pizza. I don't know. Maybe because you guys are eating that Papa John's pizza. Maybe that's helping you get down the track.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we're not starving for nothing.
No.
a quick bit on that is when I was first introduced to Papa John about a year ago at this time, and at that point, you know, it's all still marketing and branding and exposure in the sport. I didn't really know a lot about the company, how the stores are ran, how franchises operate. And I've been on, you know, a learning experience with them for a whole year now. How our team operates internally from a teamwork standpoint has been infused by the way that Papa John's as a company operates. From the, you know, hiring from the bottom up,
really?
living a head coach model instead of a kingship model, the way that you treat your employees, just from everyday conversation to, you know, when things are going bad, we say you go left, and that's when you make the right decision, the one that fulfills the best success for everybody. And we've gone through training at Papa John's. It's the same training that their members go through.
Really?
So we're more than like just a representative of them on the track. The way we operate internally is a representation of the company.
Wow, that is such a great, great insight. And that's why I like doing radio. It's fun talking about the racing, but it's really fun to find out about, you know, how strong-willed sponsors are and how much you can learn from your own sponsor. How cool is that? All right, kid, I'm going to let you go. It's been a blast as always, and I will be bugging you throughout the season, and maybe I'll come down and see you at Pomona.
I love it. I'll take it. I look forward to seeing you at the World Finals. Hopefully we'll be, you know, neck and neck chasing for that championship.
All right. Well, my co-host, Michelle Spencer, she is a girl and she is a gearhead, and she is going to be totally twisted that I wasn't able to get her on here today. But that's okay. If you win the championship, we'll make you call in on our Sunday show.
I'd give the world for that.
You're the best.
I look forward to it.
All right, kid.
Thank
hammer
you
down.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right. See you, Dave.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio right here on 1170. The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Barona Circle Track. Go to www.baronaspeedway.com, baronaspeedway.com. Located at 1750 Wildcat Canyon Road right there in lovely Lakeside. But go to the website, gives you all the information, what races are coming up, and the season's starting to wane down, so you'll definitely want to get out there before it ends. Otherwise, you got to wait till next season. Hey, we got Brittany on the line. Hey, Brittany, how you doing?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
Not doing too bad. Probably cooler than you are, but you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Are you working on
Michelle today?
No, her birthday was yesterday, so she is out at the Del Mar racetrack, throwing all of her hard-earned money at the ponies.
Right. It's the last weekend, right?
I think so. and she kind of makes that a ritual every year as her birthday sort of lands right in or around the last weekend of horse racing.
Got it.
Yeah. So how you been?
Yeah. Great. You were right. I've been working on my car, taking a little break right now.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So, getting ready for next week. We race again on the 9th of September.
Ah. And what do you got running that night?
We're running Dwarfs third. I think the featured main are the mods. They go on first, so it'd be good for the fans. Good night.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do we have our special guest on the line, Eric?
I hope so.
And how Eric,
I'm here.
How do you say your last name? Boy, that was Schweinfurter.
Schweinfurter.
Oh, I wasn't too far off.
No.
Well, I bet that was a challenge for the first, 3 years of school.
Yeah, makes it tough.
I'll just call you Eric S. So I got a little bit of background in soapbox derby racing myself, to be honest with you. My name to fame is I beat Ivan the Iron Man Stewart in a soapbox derby race.
Outstanding.
And I will never let him live it down. And it just drives him, because see, just a cute story. So it was a celebrity race here in town because I promote the soapbox derbies. We put them on TV, and they had these cars that were kind of bigger than the kids' cars. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Randy Jones. He plays Padre. He was a Padre pitcher.
Yeah. Okay. Of course.
So he was the first guy I went against, and I'd never been in a soapbox derby car. And he says, all right, here, let me give you a trick. He goes, what? He says, you need to sit straight up, as straight as you possibly can, and that'll give you a better chance of winning. I said, okay. So I sit straight up in the car, and as soon as the flag dropped, he drove his head into the cockpit, beat me by half a car. I was totally twisted. So that's okay. So the following year, I'm racing Ivan Stewart. Well, Ivan's never been in a soapbox derby car either. So I says, hey, Ivan, you want to know the best way to go the fastest? How's that?
No, Dave.
Honest to God, I did. And I beat him by half a car. He wanted to rematch. He thought it was absolutely hilarious. But what is up with the suspension on your soapbox derby car, my friend?
Yeah, well, the Red Bull soapbox race is just an outrageous event where they run you down a steep course, and their intent is to make you crash or break your car before you get to the bottom normally.
I'd never heard of this.
They tend to put jumps and obstacles. You know, they'll put a 16-inch drop-offs or jumps. They'll put 16-inch ski bumps. They'll put 12-inch drop-offs. So, you know, they're really trying to unsettle the cars and make people crash or make the cars come apart. It's more entertaining that way.
How long have they been doing? How long has Red Bull been doing this?
So look, their first event was in Belgium in 2000. So they've done a little over 100 events. They do 5 or 6 races a year, but it's mostly a European thing. You know, they do 4 races usually in Europe, and then maybe 1 in South America and 1 in the States if we're lucky.
Mm-hmm. And where did you race? Where was this race located?
This one was L.A. 2 weeks ago today in L.A.
There's no hills.
It was right outside of Dodger Stadium in Elysian Park.
There's no hills.
Oh, yes, there is.
Is there a hill?
Yeah.
Did you find a hill?
Top of the park.
Yeah, up above Dodger Stadium, the hills up there was 4/10 of a mile long, and it was a 6 or 7% grade.
Ooh, how fast were you guys going?
So our average speed was 25 miles an hour.
Folks, if you don't think that's very fast, try it in a vehicle that has no engine, no transmission, and virtually no brakes.
Yeah, it's getting along, especially when they're trying to crash you, and you have no restraints or anything.
Is it two cars go down the hill together or more than two?
They run them one at a time, and you're racing there for time, and then because it's more of a spectacle, or it's as much of a spectacle as it is a race. You know, they give you a third of the points for your time down the course.
Mm-hmm.
A third of the points is for the creativity of your craft or your soapbox.
Mm-hmm.
And then a third of your points is for a pre-race performance you do right on the ramp before you go down.
So let me guess, Brittany, you're racing next year.
Well, I sure wouldn't say no to being a driver. I probably thought that already several times.
I am sure it's in... I'm sure you've etched it in the hood of his car. So what is your, now, you know, when you think soapbox derby, 2x4s, plywood, wheels, and things like that, Can you build your car? Please. Are there any standards to building a car for the Red Bull series or no?
For Red Bull, they give you a vehicle envelope. So I think our max was 6 feet wide, 10 feet long, and 7 feet high. But the materials, it was unlimited weight for the vehicle including the drivers. But the only limit on what you could build the car out of was it had to be 176 pounds or less.
Gotcha. And then
we built ours out of aluminum. I designed it, tried to design it to be really a simple construction and quick and easy to build. So I used eighth wall, 4x4, 4-inch by 4-inch square aluminum tubing for the chassis.
Mm, gotcha.
Brittany? It wasn't childish. Eric, your suspension caught my eye to the point where I took a picture and sent it to Dave weeks ago. That's why he brought it up. You didn't see it, Dave?
Oh, I did. I mean, hello. Yeah, looks like Fox shocks
stuff.
With...
Yeah.
I mean, if you took
to increase our speed, you know, I've seen a lot. I've watched they show the series on the Red Bull channel, and I found it browsing through there, watching, you know, looking for extreme sports shows with mm-hmm. my son, Evan. Mm-hmm. And I've watched a lot of the shows, and being able to handle the obstacles without getting unsettled is important. So I spent a lot of time dialing in the suspension so that we would be able to go quickly over those obstacles. And they ended up turning it into a little bit of a downhill. We walked the course on Saturday afternoon, and Sunday morning, mysteriously, two of the obstacles disappeared. So it ended up being just almost a straight downhill and then a jump. So, you know, they kind of threw a curveball at us there, but, you know, it was better to be prepared for it than to get wrecked by it.
How'd you do?
So we took a devastatingly disappointing 10th out of 61 final runners. You know, we went up there with one goal in mind and one only, which was to bring home the top spot on the podium and that trophy. But, you know, just you got creativity things going on and judges scoring things. And we didn't make the best run and best line down there. And in the end, we were spent a lot of time getting ready to get up there and being behind and working late and not getting any sleep. And by the time that we got up there, we were all pretty
wiped. Yeah, pretty wiped out. What kind of steering did you use?
So I got a rack and pinion steering actually off a go-kart, and that was really smooth. I mean, the car just handled great. It's just you know, you still have to have the presence of mind to drive the right line, and I definitely took it wide on a corner or two when I shouldn't have. It was, you know, not making the right line, only driving 25 miles an hour is, you know, you have to work at that, but I managed to pull it off.
Yeah. Well, and the only thing Brittany sent me was the wheel. Okay. So I have no clue what the car looks like other than...
The big picture of the guitar. It was awesome.
Oh, that's right. It's a guitar. You're right. That was the other day. Yeah, you sent that to... A guitar. That's your idea.
Yeah, that was the car.
That's your idea of a simple construction, a guitar.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Dave. In hindsight, that was a giant mistake. I was very intricate. And the other thing was, for our performance, I wanted us to be able to play the strings of the guitar. So I had to figure out how to lace 6 strings through all the suspension components and have them all come out right. And that was a whole day worth of work just to get that figured out. So, yeah, I thought I was making it simple, but, yeah, best laid plans, right, go to waste. And it did turn out to be really highly complex getting the suspension set up and the steering and the having two drivers. You know, we had a co-driver trying to figure out how to get the guitar, which has to be a certain scale to look right, which made the car have to be a little longer than I would have liked. Mm-hmm. The wheelbase be a little longer. I had to be kind of crammed in up front. You know, the weight distribution was off. So if I do it again, I'll definitely pick a theme for the car that's a lot easier to build as a race car instead of something to look at.
Way around.
Well, I'm sure you've already got something in mind for next year.
Right.
I have the winning theme in mind, but I can't tell you what it is yet.
Yeah, I know. You'd have to kill us. Well, Brittany, you know we got to bring him and his little hot rod down to KUSI.
Well, I wanted that, but where is it, Eric?
Unfortunately.
Did it die?
A long, long day and a long, long this. They had what they called the boneyard at the bottom of the racetrack. And after the event, they closed it off and said we couldn't come in for 3 hours to pick it up. But their intent was to have everybody leave their crafts and just take them. You know, they were going to dispose of them. But if we wanted to pick them up, we could let them know. But... You know, the team decided that we really didn't want to wait around for 3 hours to come back and drag our creation away. So, yeah, we ended up leaving it.
Oh, you had such great suspension on that thing, too. Oh,
yeah.
My
God. I know.
So we left the whole thing. And, you know, if I could rebuild that car in 2 days now. So
Oh, yeah, right. Was it going to be a bass fiddle?
Maybe this time.
Yeah, not this time. Well, you know, I'm sure you're involved with the Lemons. You ever heard of the Lemon Race, the Lemon Grand Prix?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my goodness.
What's the Lemon Race?
Well, the Lemon Race is you can't buy a car for more than $500. and whatever it is, you enter it, and bribing of the officials is allowed.
Oh, my gosh.
Cheating is allowed. You know, you can yell at the – and this – the Lemons is all over the United States. And they have races at Button Willow. They have races at Willow Spring. You got to look up the Lemons. Just look
Absolutely.
Up the Lemons
Fantastic.
Race. And that might be your – because there's a guy that – he brought a BMW 3 Series to KUSI, and his car looked like a porcupine. I mean, he literally – it was a porcupine. It has all prickly little thingies sticking out. So he did really well with that. And then the next year, he brought the car to KUSI. He changed it into a 57 Plymouth Fury, like the movie Christine.
Right.
And the car was red. It was identical, but it was all the whole outside. I mean, all around this BMW, he made it look like a 58 Plymouth. You need to look it up. This might be.
Nice.
Same thing with you, Brittany. Are you familiar with Lemons?
No, I'm not. Thank you. Let me know.
It's a hoot. And you have to get a car. I mean, it can't. I had a friend of mine. He just got a Maserati Quattroport and he bought it for $500, and that's what he's going to race next year.
Wow!
You have to look
a lot cheaper.
You guys will have to look it up. It's absolutely. It would. I know more and more people that run it just because, and they do. They also do a 23-hour of Lemons, where it's just.
Oh my gosh!
Oh yeah, check this out. When you get off air, which you're off now here in about 30 seconds. Check it out, and I got a sneaky feeling you'll be doing that again.
Will do. Thanks for the tip, Dave.
All right, buddy. Hey, Eric, always good talking to you. Brittany, great, great interview. You did a phenomenal job, as usual. And you'll be racing next Saturday, right?
Correct.
All right, folks. So make sure you get to the track. Go check out Brittany. She's the one with the big smile. All right, you guys. Thanks a million. And,
thanks,
gosh, that was a great interview, Brittany. Thank you. Eric, always good talking to you. We'll see you down the road. Folks, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, we've got Paris Auto Speedway. We've got the Radio Flyer. That would be Mr. St. James right here on AM 1170, The Answer.
AM 1170, The Answer. KCBQ.
Hey, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio right here on AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. If you've not been, you've totally missed out. 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California. You need to check them out. Go to parisautospeedway.com, parisautospeedway.com. All right, on the line right now, we got Bruce St. James, the Radio Flyer. Hey, Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you today?
Where did you get the nickname of the Radio Flyer?
Well, I work in radio, if you can imagine that. My actual job, aside from crash testing sprint cars, is that I have a daily talk show in Phoenix.
Oh, do you? What's the topic?
Whatever the heck I come up with.
Don't you love that?
General news information, you know. Yeah. I can assure you that last weekend was a topic Monday when I got to work.
Goodness gracious. If it wasn't for bad luck, would you have had any at all last weekend?
I like to tell people I've had better weekends, you know, I really have. It was, we blew our new motor, our new engine in the heat race. And then, I saw you guys, you know, there's a picture up floating around the internet of my truck, the truck we use to tow the trailer, burning to the ground on the side of my It might be perfect for the Lemons race, though. I mean, I was thinking maybe we could salvage enough of that. And good night. All that's left is a metal shell. It was unreal.
Well, okay, you know, I understand race trailers catching fire. I mean, that's not uncommon. But for tow vehicle to burn to the ground, what did you find out what caused it, or...
Yeah, I'm driving along. I was driving. It's 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
We got home after the race. And I smelled smoke behind the wheel, and you know, I thought I was driving past something that might be on fire. You know, you don't think you're the one on fire. I noticed some. I thought they were sparks on the side of the truck coming out, and I thought, oh my goodness, maybe we blew a trailer tire or something. I pull over, and as soon as we pulled over, there are flames coming out underneath.
Really?
And yeah, flames out the right side of the truck from underneath the wheel well, or right there at the wheel well underneath the hood. I couldn't even get the hood popped because there was black smoke and flames coming out. So it was fully engulfed within 5 minutes.
Wow.
We were lucky to get the trailer dropped. Yeah, we dropped the trailer pretty quick and pushed the truck forward and said, let's
have a barbecue.
Let's save it. Yeah, let's save what we can.
Yeah.
And the truck wasn't savable.
Well, the truck, you can probably, that's easier to replace than the trailer and the race car and all the gear and all the equipment and all the parts and pieces.
We prioritize, exactly.
Yeah.
And we made a quick decision. Thankfully, it was the right one to say, well, let's save the really expensive stuff that, by the way, probably isn't covered by insurance.
I was just going to say you
chance for the truck.
Yeah, I was going to say you probably didn't have a policy on the trailer and everything in it.
Yeah. Oh. No, sir. They don't like to cover race car parts.
No.
Amazingly enough, I'm just as shocked as you are. But wow. You know,
so you're in the market for a tow vehicle? Is that what? Is that why you're calling in?
Exactly. Did my caller number 12? Do I win? You know, I mean, I could really use a dually pickup truck, you know.
Golly. Well, at least the truck was covered under insurance. Hopefully that'll relieve some of your stress.
Some of the pain out there, but you know, losing a motor in one of those sprint cars is something else as well. And that's
well, what's up with that? Know? A new motor?
Yeah.
I mean, do we even mention who built it? Do we even mention who built it?
I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus because it was loaned to me, and so I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Mm. But yeah, it was loaned to me, and you know, a rod broke. It really, literally, a rod went through the side of the motor, and that's just a parts failure. You know,
yeah.
I talked to the motor builder, and I go, "Was that something I did?" And they go, "Man, when a rod breaks, that ain't you. Yeah. You're not that good." And I said, "Okay."
You wish.
Hey, wow. The top of the motor is my fault. The bottom of the motor is the motor builder's fault.
Exactly. So did he give you any, well, sorts of as a loan motor? You basically have to pay for the loan motor.
Well, yeah, we'll figure all that out.
Yeah.
It's going in a box and go back to him, and we'll figure out what happens from there. But, you know, that was we barely got that thing dirty, you know. But, that happens. Welcome to racing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, worst has happened in a shorter period of time.
As long as he doesn't say, you know what, Bruce? I've never seen this happen before. Nothing makes me crazier when somebody tells me that.
I've heard that a couple times, by the way. You're the first one to ever do this. What a shocker.
I know. I was buying a competition go-kart back in the day when I was a kid, and I told him I wouldn't buy it unless I could drive it, so I took it out, and I'm screaming down a straightaway, and all of a sudden, yep, and it locked up, and I did like 27 donuts. So we pulled the head off, and the piston was gone.
Just gone.
Gone. Nothing in there but a lot of scratches on the walls, but the piston head, the cylinder, it was gone. And they all looked at me and they went, wow, I've never seen that happen before ever.
Yeah, well, I'm glad it happened on your dime, right?
Well, that was the lucky part because he threw a motor at me, said, sorry about that. I go, no problem. I had a lot of fun, but yeah.
I got outlaw carts also, just because I'm the biggest idiot you know. I've got two of those 500cc outlaw carts, and so I know a little something about those.
Hey, really?
Those things as well. Yeah, we'll race anything, anytime, anywhere. We're just trying to, you know, get as many laps in as we can, which is why, you know, from Phoenix, we drive over to California on the weekends.
Sure. Well, don't you have some pretty good tracks over in Arizona?
We do, and actually, we chase a series over here. It's a 360 cubic inch downwing sprint car.
Mm.
California runs Paris runs the 410s.
Right.
You know, difference of about 150, maybe 200 horsepower and some weight, but except for this weekend, it's relatively cooler in California than it is in Arizona, and so they take kind of July, August, and most of September. So that's when we kind of go travel and chase races other places because there was nothing going on in Arizona.
Sure,
so we're
sure.
back to racing in Arizona later this month.
Okay. And you got to love Paris Auto Speedway.
It's really one of the premier dirt tracks in America. There's just no two ways around it. And I mean, from a racer's perspective, but I'm also a fan.
Me too.
And from a fan perspective, it is great racing. It is a first-class facility. They treat people well. I mean, I love telling people to come out and join me at Paris.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And you'll never find anybody that can do a track prep as well as Kazarian. That guy, he must sleep or dream or something. I don't know. What's up with
I don't know how they do it. Like, again, I'm one of those ones. I don't know how they do it, but I'm glad that they do it. It was an awesome track last Saturday night. I was disappointed, needless to say, that I missed out on the main event because it looked like a fun, fun racetrack. Mm. Right around the top, cushion up against the fence, and they were flying.
Yeah. Well, I love it because, you know, I'm like you. I'm a radio junkie. I do 4 hours of radio. I do 3 hours. I do a green show, everything green. I do a general automotive show called You Ought to Know, and I do the Racer Radio. But then I do a gun show. I'm the only gun show in California.
Look at you.
I know. But you know what?
You got a bunch of jobs. I only got one. I do 9 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday. I got to tell you, it's not like working.
No, I would kill for 9 to noon. I would love it, or 4 to 6 at night. Because I've always told station owners, I go, do you really want to listen to somebody regurgitate his opinion? Or would you like to get educated in the automotive world? And so far, no one's pulled the trigger yet. So,
it's loads of fun. I feel very lucky because, you know, I love being on the radio. It's so much fun. And I love racing. I'm a lucky person. I get to do two of my big passions.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And
genuinely lucky.
Yeah.
Even with a truck burning to the ground on the side of the road.
That's incidental. I mean, if nothing, that's just a great story. You didn't have to do prep for Monday morning. I mean, there was at least 2 hours.
I assure you. My boss is not as big a fan of racing, surprisingly enough, as I am. He says he has to check Facebook and Twitter every Saturday night to find out if I'm going to make it in on Monday.
You have never missed a morning on Monday, and you know it.
I have. I've been pretty darn sore.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've been under the influence of anti-swelling drugs before, but, yeah, I've made it in on Mondays. But I've taken a couple rides in the spring car. I broke both collarbones a year ago, and that hurt.
Yeah, well, I got one better then. Plus, I'm 72, okay?
Copy that.
So I get invited to the Flat Track AMA Motorcycle School in L.A. I go, geez, that sounds like fun. I haven't been on a dirt bike in a while. So I go cruising up, and I go walking up to the table, and he says, and he's doing the orientation. He says, by the way, for safety, we got a box of Advil and we got a box of Band-Aids, so we'll be in good shape. That should have been my first clue. So then the second clue was, here's your safety gear. So I had a helmet, a light shirt, a light pair of pants, and a pair of big old clunky boots. That was number two. And then number three, I was chasing this pro, and she went high, and I went low, and she came down, and for whatever reason, stopped. So 4 broken ribs and a punctured lung later.
Oh.
So I just said, that's it, I'm done. Well, now I'm healed, and I can't wait to get back at it again. I want to go do the go-karts. I want to do the road course go-karts at Paris.
I can hear them when I'm in the pits. I hear them and I'm like, oh boy, don't get me started. If I go see them, we're going to go buy one.
You have the same disease I have. I have to turn things down because it takes months, Like I'm going with Chevrolet at the end of September. We're going to fly to Vegas and then we're going to load up the new Polaris Razors and we're going to go to the desert for a day. I know.
What a heck of a gig.
I almost said no, but then I couldn't do that. Then I'd never be able to. Oh, are you ready for this? I just came back from New Hampshire, drove the new Jeep Grand Cherokee Trackhawk 707 horsepower in a Jeep at a private racetrack with elevation that would curl your hair. I mean, it was a road course.
If you need an intern, you know, I understand how radio works. Just throwing it out there. You know, if you're in marketing.
Your problem is you got to get a different topic. You got to start talking about cars. You got to start talking about motorcycles. See that? But unfortunately, you'll never get a 9 to noon paying gig talking about your love. Yeah. You know that as well as I do.
I got to get something to pay for all those spring car parts.
Yeah, that's right. So you're not racing. So when's the next time you coming back to California?
Not 100% sure. They don't have another race back there. We have to look at our schedule now that we have conflict. It might not be later till the end of the year when they have the big Oval Nationals, you know, the multi-day event where the USAC National guys come to town. We're running in Arizona the weekend before with the National guys as well. So we may be able to put together two cars and run both divisions, the 360 cubic inch and the 410. So we're optimistic that we're going to get our 410 issue fixed. But if not, we'll be out there pedaling along, racing whatever they give me.
Well, what I could do, I mean, I'll get Scott to send you all my contact info. And sure. Because I got to ask you, who's the sponsor on the side of your car? Who helps get you to the track?
I got a couple of great people. I got Priority Aviation out of San Antonio, and I've got the Woodland Auto Display, the Woodland family up in Paso Robles, California, have really supported me along the way and are just tremendous people, individuals, and families that I just really, really appreciate. And they are just huge fans of racing, and they support a variety of racers, and I love people like that.
Well, this show's called Racer Radio, and the reason I do it is I try to get young drivers on and to make sure I have them talk about their sponsors and really promote their sponsors. So I wouldn't have been, you know, any good if I hadn't have let you get that out. But I'll get my contact info. And if I know you're coming over, I would be happy to give you some television time free of charge. Because I'm on 5 days a week doing television, and it's totally free. And you could bring your race car, whoever you have, and it's trust me, it's number one watch morning show in San Diego, and it'll put you on the map. And I promise you, I'll give you that if we can work out scheduling for you to come out.
I need the help, Dave, without the doubt. I need the help. And good news is I'm extremely handsome.
So yes,
I got that going for me.
They said you had a face for radio, and that was all they needed to know. All right, Bruce, thank you very much, folks. If you're in the, were you in Phoenix?
Yes, sir.
KTAR? Yes, sir.
Yep, 92.3 KTAR at KTAR.com, and we've got an app and all that. Hey, I hate to rub it in. I know you got to run, but I'm not in Phoenix today. I'm going to rub it in just a little. I'm sitting on a boat in Marina Del Rey right now.
Oh, I hope you have a flat tire. Oh, that's right. That doesn't have tires. Hey, Bruce, good talking to you, and remember, keep the rubber side down, the shiny side up.
Sir, yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, you take care. All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. You're listening to Racer Radio, AM 1170, The Answer. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio right here on AM 1170. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. Go to 11370 North Woodside Avenue in Santee. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ AM 1170. Get a discount on a dyno pull. They are all into hot rod speed and stopping. They can do it all. Certified Car Clinic. Check them out. Hey, Brakes is out running around helping kids learn how to drive. I've got an interview I had done with Doug a while back. Let's take a listen. All right, folks. Hey, guess what's back? Brakes. You heard about it. Be responsible and keep everybody safe. I got my good buddy Scott McKee on the line. Boy, I bet you've had a whirlwind year running brakes all over the U.S.
It has been a very busy year. We finished up 2016, and we had students from 43 different states.
Wow.
And we crossed a major milestone. Actually, in San Diego last July, we trained our 20,000th team to be safer drivers. And if you combine that with their parents, because, of course, the parents need to attend, at least one parent needs to attend with each team that comes to Brakes.
Sure.
We're now talking, since Brakes was founded in 2008, we're talking more than or very nearly 50,000 safer drivers on the road.
My goodness.
And all free. So it's pretty satisfying to be involved with it.
Well, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And, you know, and every year it just keeps getting better and better and better and better. And I think a lot of that's word of mouth, too. You know, a lot of families will get together, the kids get together and say, dude, you really got to go check out this Brakes. And I think that has a lot to do with it. And that's a compliment to Brakes.
It is. It really is. When we were founded in Concord, North Carolina, where Doug Herbert is based, and North Carolina, we have monthly schools, and there's a waiting list of 500 to 1,000 families at any given time trying to get their kids into the Brakes classes. In San Diego, we've been here once already.
Yeah, I was going to say one other time.
What we found is things filled up quickly.
Right.
And so now we're coming back, and we still have a few openings in the morning sessions. But we need to get those filled up and make sure we get as many people in there as possible.
Well, I got a sneaky feeling when you show up to KUSI on the 5th, you're not going to have a problem. Because every time I put you on TV from, you know, from past experiences, yeah, the people get off the couches, make some phone calls, and so you should be good to go as far as
that goes. Exactly right. Yeah, no, we did. We got filled up and then some last time.
Yeah, that's the then some that bothers us, but there's not much you can do. And you mentioned 43 states. I mean, is that just due to lack of time, or are you planning on hitting all 50 next year or this year?
Well, so the 43 states is we've actually attracted students from 43 different states. So we had about 37 school weekends last year.
Okay.
And we were in, I think, 23 different locations.
Wow.
And probably, I don't know, somewhere north of a dozen states. But it's a 501c3 charity. So, a big part of it is resources. We're very fortunate to be, supported, in a big way by Kia. So they give us two fleets of brand new vehicles. One is on the East Coast and one is on the West Coast. And then also a cash donation to help with the operations. And then we have other partners like BMV.org, which is a San Diego-based company, or actually I think they're in Carlsbad.
Uh-huh.
And they'll be out at the San Diego event at Qualcomm February 11th and 12th with us, you know, adding to the program and doing a distracted driving mm-hmm. pledge to help keep kids safe on the road. And the temptation to pick up your phone is so strong even for adults, let alone for teens. So this pledge kind of helps with that.
Right.
So, well, hey, anyway, to get back to getting all the way across the country, we're finding that, as you say, word of mouth is really taking over, and we're having more and more people who will call us up and say, "Hey, I want you to come to my town.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to bring brakes to my state." And you know, it's just a question of having enough cars, enough people, and enough money to make sure
right.
that we can actually do that every time somebody requests it.
By the way, the Carlsbad company that you mentioned, you're more than welcome to bring them down on the 5th to KUSI.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, because that'll be good for them. And, and I'm so thrilled that Kia has stepped to the plate. I mean, I know you have a good relationship with Kia, and it must be a great relationship if they're giving you cars and money. But the cause is really what it is. People don't realize that Doug Herbert lost his two boys, I think it was within a mile and a half of his home, in a weird traffic accident. Both of them were taken from him, and the kids in his two boys' school were the ones that came up with the name Brakes. And I was lucky enough to be one of the very first to interview Doug when I heard about it, and we've had a relationship ever since the beginning. And now having you on board is just, boy, I gotta tell you, it's a plus. And I told Doug that
you.
The last time I told him, I said, dude, you got yourself a winner. Because I mean, you're not only you're a people guy, but you get things done and you do it with a lot of fun attached. And I think that's a great combination.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it is definitely, it's very satisfying to be a part of it. And there's a kind of a transformation that we see at the schools that is really satisfying to be a part of, where you can tell that you know, on the way in, some of the teams are probably not too thrilled to be going to what they think is driver's ed.
Correct.
On a Saturday or a Sunday morning. And you can tell who's had maybe a little bit of, you know, crosswords on the ride in to the class in the morning. But then inside of like an hour and a half, when kids start driving the cars and experiencing and realizing that the instructor in the seat next to them, you know, worked on Fast and Furious 7 or trained Secret Service, agents or whatever. And how much fun it is that they can learn all of these skills. They don't have to get yelled at for driving too fast in mom and dad's car. It's a brand new Kia. The kids really start to have a great time. And then the parents, meanwhile, are going through the same exercises, but they're doing it on a different course.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of split them up, but then they get back together at the end of the session. And there's this really, it's a fun moment because, hey, sorry, I was a little bit irritated this morning, but thank you for bringing me here because
mm-hmm.
I learned a ton and I had a great time.
And that's it in a nutshell. As long as you walk away and you've learned something, and you're absolutely right. You know, by pulling in instructors from the media world and the cinema world where these kids can relate, especially when you're pulling people from the movies that do things with cars that you're not allowed to do on the road, you know, it almost says, oh, wait, you know, it was a movie after all, and this is really the right way to do it. I love it.
Yeah, and you have to remember that racing is kind of part of the culture of brakes, in that
yep.
Doug Herbert, who founded it, was a top fuel drag racer for yep. years and years and years,
yep.
Multi-time International Hot Rod Association national champion, second guy to go over 300 miles per hour. So, and that first year, after he tragically lost both of his sons in a car crash in 2008, what he did is he reached out to all of his friends in the racing world mm-hmm. and said, hey, this is wrong. We have to do something about this. This is the number one cause of death among teens. He didn't know that before.
Right.
But we know now car crashes are the number one cause of death, and they kill more teens than the next four causes combined. So worse than suicide, worse than cancer, worse than crime, drugs, whatever. Car crashes. It's one of the most dangerous things that all of us do, but we sort of take it for granted that you'll just kind of figure it out. You'll be lucky enough not to be one of the people who gets hurt or worse in a car crash.
Sure. It'll never happen to you. It'll never happen to you.
Yeah, and the chance of being in a car crash in the first 3 years of your driving career is almost 90%. It's 89.2%.
Yeah.
But if you go to brakes, we have a study out of the University of North Carolina at Charlotte that graduates of brakes are 64% less likely to be in a crash. I mean, that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, again, very satisfying to be a part of it. We just want to make sure that everybody knows about it and can go to putonthebrakes.org to get registered.
And that's putonthebrakes.org to register. And you're going to be at Qualcomm when?
We'll be at Qualcomm February 11th and 12th, and there are four different sessions, so you can figure out which one kind of works into your busy
right.
weekend schedule. We know everybody's busy. So it's 8 to noon in the morning, and then 1 to 5 in the afternoon, and just a parent needs to come. And then one other thing I should mention is that we do ask for a $99 refundable deposit at the time of registration.
Right.
That is fully refundable when you show up. The only thing is, if we don't do that, then people tend to flake out and not come.
Very good.
So what we do is we ask that you make that refundable deposit at the time of registration. And then when you show up, if you'd like to have it back, you can. A lot of people tend to leave it behind as a donation.
I was going to say, you can leave it as a donation, right?
Yes. Yeah. So. We encourage people to do that. We recognize that not everybody can, you know, times are tough, whatever, but you know, the vast majority of people do leave it behind because they realize that they got way more than $99 worth of value out of the 4 hours with us.
I bet.
At the class.
How many returns have you been keeping track of that? Kids coming back and doing it again?
Yeah. So we in cities where we have a waiting list, we have to be a little bit careful about that.
Because
there's so many people that we want to get through the program at least once.
Yeah.
But we do try and honor those requests where people want to come back. And yeah, in Southern California, we're also out regularly in Pomona at the Fairflex.
Right.
We have had several people who come through and they'll come through early in their driving career, and then maybe after they have a year under their belt, and they get even more out of it with that extra practice. So we do try and honor those requests for a second visit. And then we also have families that, okay, the older brother goes, and then the younger sister goes, and then number three comes through. And so we tend to see whole families over a period of years because the parents really recognize how valuable the experience is.
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.